Thanks for listening to D-Mac and I on the Drive. Derek Wolf here for Great Range Premium Bison, my choice for sustainable, delicious, and healthy meat. It's available at local grocery and club stores, or you can order online at Amazon.com. Learn more at GreatRangeBison.com.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Leading off with a big story of the day, here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Coach Prime.
As you know, I have work to finish in Jackson, Mississippi. They tell me we and O. That means we hadn't lost to anybody. We're and O. And we got to win the championship. But simultaneously, like I play baseball and football, I can multitask and I can focus. And this is my job and my occupation and my business and my dream to bring you back to where you know you should belong.
What you gotta do for the players?
We don't have to do anything. We're going to outwork them. We're going to out-recruit them. We're going to out-scout them. We're going to out-develop. We're going to get our education. We're going to graduate these young men. These young men are going to be on campus respectful and considerate and kind, opening doors for you and making sure everything is copacetic. And they're going to say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, or they're going to have to deal with me. That's just the way I father. That's the way I parent. That's the way I coach. I'm old school. All right? Sometimes I may look like an old fool, but I'm just old school.
Yeah, he wasn't joking. He brought Shador and introduced Shador as the next quarterback.
Then said he's going to earn it, though.
Well, okay.
Well, he said, what's the other son's name? The safety? Shiloh. He said he left Shiloh.
Left Shiloh at home.
Because he was mad at him.
Yes.
That's so funny.
No disrespect. I'm not trying to pile on, but Shiloh did not play good in that championship game.
Okay. Well, I'm going to guess that's not the reason. He got sideways with Dad.
Right.
And I have no doubt Shiloh will be coming as well to be a player. But Deion Sanders left his kid at home.
Yeah, because he's mad at him.
So you think he's going to play? I mean, to a certain degree, Shador has got playing favors. But he's as legit as a quarterback that's come to see you in forever.
Yeah.
Name me a quarterback with his sort of accomplishments. The last one that had his sort of accomplishments that came to see you.
Cordell Stewart.
That's been a minute. That's been a hot minute.
If he had the same stats that he put up in a SWAC in a FBS school Division I, he'd be running for Heisman.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Shador could go to a million high-level Power 5 D1 schools and compete. No
Definitely.
Doubt about it.
Yeah.
Zero doubt about it.
Yeah, he's good.
James Marilat joins us. And James, what year did you graduate CU?
1996.
Okay, so a little perspective here, and we await the Nathaniel Hackett presser with bated breath. Since your
is he
time,
late or did it just
no, no,
late?
Not late yet. It's supposed to be at 3:15, so we got plenty of time for you.
Okay,
so give me some CU perspective on yesterday and the future.
Well, for the first time in a long time, there's hope. There's the belief that hey, we can get back to where we once were. And look, it's been a long, long time, but when I was up there, you know, you're walking around campus and it's Cordell Stewart and Michael Westbrook and Rashan Salam, and it's a bunch of guys that are going to go play in the league. And, you know, you'd go to games every Saturday and it'd be the U that was coming in and they'd play these big games against Nebraska. And I mean, it was just such a different experience. It's just night and day. So the chance that is potentially coming back. And look, the Bill McCartney teams, he was a really good coach, but those teams were great. Because he got phenomenal players to come up there. He got the Chad Browns of the world. You know, he was putting one year they had 10 guys drafted into the NFL. It was about the Jimmys and the Joes when he was there. And
well, think about this for a second because I know where you're going. So you got Chad Brown from Los Angeles.
Yep.
You got Alfred Williams and Canavis from Houston. You got guys from wherever. Is that about to happen again?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing it. Right, you're seeing, you know, guys come with him from Jackson. You saw the kid that's like the class of 2025 top recruit or whatever it was from IMG down in Florida. Mm-hmm. You're starting to see that, but yeah, I mean, you know, initially McCartney got it from California and from Texas, but then it started to go into Louisiana. That's where Cordell was from. It was you know, Michigan. He was starting to get up into there. Like he was able to recruit nationwide. So I think Deion Sanders brings that immediately. I mean, it's a 180 for where that program was. And I had a column at DenverFan.com this afternoon. to me, it was the defibrillator put on a program that was almost dead. I mean, when you're 1-11, we talked about it during the season, they were amongst, if not the worst programs in all of college football. The job ahead of whoever they would have hired, no disrespect to Tom Herman or Bronco Mendenhall or some of the guys that we heard rumored to be in the mix for that job, but it wouldn't have caused this kind of excitement, and that would have been a long haul and a big task. Deion is sort of the microwave way to do it because he brings all these guys with him from Jackson, and he's a great recruiter. He's going to get people who want to come to Colorado, and look, he's a great fit. He's got a great thing to sell, right? Boulder's a great place. CU's a great school. You know, this may sound silly, but with 18-year-old kids, it matters. The uniforms are cool, right? Like, it's a good look. I think he's got a great product to sell, and I think he's going to do it well, and I think he's going to do it quickly.
Derek, I know you don't care about CU. In fact, you might be a little ticked off because Cincinnati was somewhat in the mix.
I mean, were they really?
Well, I guess not. Maybe. Actually, no. Now that we hear, like, what was going on.
Yeah, they were.
Because this thing seemed like it was done, like, 2-3 weeks ago, actually. That being said, as a casual, at best, CU fan, you yourself, does this make you interested in CU?
Absolutely. 1,000% makes me want to watch what happens over there. And I think he's going to do something awesome. I think what he's doing, he's going to bring so many good players up there, and the football's the whole culture is going to change. And he's saying it, man. He's like, we're going to have good, respectable young men. He's a man builder, you know what I mean? He's not going to bring in kids that are 3 stars. He's going to have 4 or 5 star recruits coming up there, and he's going to turn them into players.
Is it wrong to say take your hats off, get your jewelry out, or what that sort of thing?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You have to create a culture and a discipline, and it starts with the little things, man, especially at that level.
James, what did you think of the moment where he told, I got it right here.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louie.
So he's more or less telling the kids in that room, good luck.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Welcome to the real world, right? Like, you know, and I know that it's 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old kids, and that's a different deal than the guys that are sitting down in the meeting room at Dove Valley. I get it. But it's also the real world, right? You're an adult. You're over 18. You're on scholarship, and it's about performance. And 1-11, look, you're going to get replaced. And if you go do anything after you get out of college and you're putting up a 1-11 type performance and you got your previous boss fired, your new boss probably isn't going to keep you around. That's just how it's going to work. So I know it seems harsh, but it is the reality of the situation. It's the reality of the world. Guys, I'm just telling you, when they're good, and it's been a long time. It's been probably 2001, the 62-36 game over Nebraska that they were legitimately good. When they're good, there are few sporting event experiences better than going up to Boulder for a big game. I hope we get to that. I hope it turns out that way because it is a ton of fun, and it'll be a game changer for sports fans in this state. It really will be.
Did you take note of the buyout money?
I didn't. I know the fact that they don't have the money at the moment to pay the contract, which I think is, look, that's bold, but that's, and I told you on Coffee Break, D-Mac, it's like Jerry Jones buying the Cowboys when they were losing $1 million a month, right? Sometimes you got to see the vision and you got to be the riverboat gambler. I did not see what the buyout is.
Well, it goes down every year, you know, it's, and Deion has to pay out money. Like if he wants to leave in the first year, it's going to cost him $18 million. Now, I would assume whatever school he would go to, if that were to happen, would just cover that. That'd just be part of the deal. Now, I only bring this up because this is exactly what Midnight Mel Tucker did to CU.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have the honor to actually address anybody directly. In fact, the night of his leaving, he actually was BSing at a fundraiser and then at midnight left everybody in the lurch. That's Midnight Mel Tucker. But look what he got offered from Michigan State. And as much money as CU is offering Deion Sanders, and I'm reading from Brian Howell, 5 years, $29.5 million, 5.9 per, and there's all sorts of bonuses and other things that go into that.
Yeah.
He could easily get a financial offer that doubles that from a Big Ten or SEC school in as little as 1 year. Are you nervous about that, or are you okay?
Well, I mean, I'm... both, actually. I mean, two things can be true. I'm okay with it. If that happens, that means he had a quick run at success up there, and it would be a bummer to see him leave, but at least he's, you know, brought them from the ashes, and maybe they can build upon it. I do know that most of the biggest donors haven't put a dollar into that program for a decade. And that's because it's a bad investment. And now all of a sudden they're showing up and they're finding the money. And I would believe, I would have to believe that this becomes a team that, you know, hey, they're a national title contender. I think they would probably, at least I would hope they'd be able to come up with some money to compete with those folks. But look, yeah, Mel Tucker got a big deal. The Mel Tucker contract to Michigan State fans has to feel like the Russell Wilson contract here. I mean, that's pretty well spent. What'd they win, 4 games this year?
Wow. Is that, I don't even know. I didn't follow Michigan State. Did they really?
They weren't particularly good.
Our guy Rooftop Richie would know. He's our Michigan State homer here. There he is. Richie, how many games you win at Michigan State this year? How many wins did Midnight Mel Tucker get you, pal? There's Richie. What? Can't hear you.
He can probably hold up one.
Not enough. I don't know. How many wins did he get you? What'd you get?
They won 4 games.
4 games.
I think.
How much does he get paid per year?
$10 million.
Okay.
Thank you. $2.5 million a win. I mean, that's not bad.
Thank you, Richie. Appreciate it.
Pretty good deal.
All right, James, we'll let you go because we're expecting Nathaniel Hackett. But I know you wrote about, you know, the comparison between Hackett and the Broncos. So at DenverFan.com, essentially, what are you saying?
I'm essentially saying it's time for Greg Penner to give Broncos country what Buffs Nation got yesterday, and that's some hope. It's time to make a move that's going to make everybody feel better and do a 180 in terms of spirits in this town. It's time to get rid of one Peyton and bring in the other.
Okay. Whoa. I like it. Thank you, James.
You betcha. See you, fellas.
DenverFan.com. I think it's going to be a big move by Penner.
Yeah, he's got to do something.
He's got to be big.
Because he doesn't want this city to hate him.
No. No.
And he's got to turn it around. And, you know, here's the other thing about what I've been noticing around the league. Have you noticed how on these primetime games that even like regular, you know, afternoon games in places like Dallas, L.A., excuse me, they're having like a halftime performance at just a regular game.
They're making big deals of things, sure.
Yeah, so I think that like they need to get on board with that.
The Broncos?
Yeah.
Oh, you think it's a little too, you don't like dogs and frisbees at halftime?
No, they need to get on board.
I mean, I'm telling you, dogs and frisbees are the most popular thing at halftime right now. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
we got to top dogs with frisbees.
Yeah.
Okay.
They need to do better. They need to build a new stadium. They should let it burn. Let it burn.
How about mascots taking down 11-year-olds and tackle football?
Love it.
Because those are the two most popular events at halftime. Dogs and frisbees and mascots plowing 9-year-olds during tackle
Isn't
football.
Isn't that crazy?
I can't. And I am not being facetious here. You think I'm joking?
Oh, that's what's going down.
These mascots blow past the 9-year-old hard.
Stiff arm them, too.
No, it's a riot, but it does look like there's a lawsuit about to happen. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the entire presentation of the Broncos just needs to get to, we're stuck in the old days.
Yeah.
And you're right. They are. They've tried to do a few things over the years. The Thunder Vision, the Jumbotron, it's fantastic. It's great. But the game day presentation with the Broncos is, you know.
Meh. It's like meh.
Yeah.
It's like cool, man.
It's not overwhelming. You want to see something? Go see a Raiders game where the presentation
is. Go to a Dallas game. It's out of control. You can hang out at a bar and watch all the players walk right by you.
There's some common traits here because they have stadiums in which you can do those sort of things at.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. We need a new stadium.
Well, that's for sure.
They need to just come in here and overhaul everything.
I didn't think. I bet Greg Penner is surprised that he has to move so quickly. But I am going to give him the benefit of the doubt, kind of. What I'm not quite understanding at this point is what other information Greg Penner needs. And I really don't understand why he thinks it's so important to wait till the end of the season. You can send a message to everybody. This isn't acceptable now. Derek, we're in preseason. We're in training camp again.
Yep.
The season's done. You can't finish better than 500. You can't make the playoffs. The season is over. So now what? Well, I certainly wouldn't play players that are injured like Randy Gregory, KJ Hamler, or Courtland Sutton the rest of the year. Mm. Why would you do that? I mean, if you really believe in Russ, you may want to, maybe he really is hurt, quote unquote. Maybe there are reasons to, you know, just shut him down a tad.
Give him some rest.
Or he's going to get, Well, maybe he's not going to get killed because look what kind of offense they actually ran yesterday to protect him. I mean, if they keep doing that all year, he'll actually be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
They're not going to win or anything. They're not going to score any points.
They're not going to score any touchdowns.
No, touchdowns.
The bathrooms are holding strong.
The only thing is if Justin Simmons in an act of Mike Kliss fury, you know, picks off another pass and doesn't fall down as he's running towards the other goal line. I mean, the defense.
Oh, I thought he was taking that all the way.
How did he fall down?
Who knows? He came in there high. He was probably just trying to stay in bounds and just slipped.
The other one was practically handed to him. Yeah. I can't, you know, he was there. By the way, was that the worst play you've ever seen in your life? That you're going to design a reverse lateral pass?
Yeah, that was bad.
That the receiver's going to throw in to four Broncos?
Oh, we got the presser. Here we go.
Here
we
you'll be day today.
Yeah, Coach, I was wondering if you had any interaction in the past with Deion, you know, either as a kid or NFL Network, and your reaction to him being the head coach of the CU Buffs down the road here.
I congratulate him. What a great opportunity. I mean, what he did at Jackson State was unbelievable, and so it shows how good of a coach he is, and very excited for him and the state of Colorado to have him here. I met him one time when I was a kid. I remember that. He probably wouldn't remember that, but, I mean, it's prime time. I mean, he's one of the best to ever play this game, and it's great to have him here.
Hey, we've talked a lot about third downs this year, but especially early in the game, you had a bunch that were short or manageable. Can you put your finger on just why you weren't able to get more of those specifically on Sunday?
The first one we got, I think it was on third and one. It was an incredible job. They put everybody in the box. I thought all the guys had man blocks. There was one man free, and Latavius did a great job finding a seam and getting low and getting the first down. The next one, we ran the ball, and we just had a couple mishaps with the techniques up front on the landmarks of the guys, and couldn't get it on that one. But the other ones, we were setting to get them to be all manageable, and we just have to convert on those, whether it be pass or run game. We have to be sure that we're executing.
Defensively, you guys, they weren't able to close out. When you watch back, because they have a great game, pretty much check every box. In those moments, do you see guys trying to do too much, getting out? I'm going to say playing hero ball, but what is happening on those last kind of drives where they're unable to finish, even though it's kind of unfair to pin it on them given the overall effort of the game?
Yeah, we have to score more points. We can't put them in that position. That's what I would say first. I mean, to not score a touchdown, to only have 9 points, that's us as a team. We win and lose together, and we have to be better from an offensive standpoint, special teams across the board. And then for the defense in that situation, they had the long field. I don't think it was necessarily that anybody was trying to be a hero or anything like that, just some things started not going our way, whether it be we had a great third and one stop, had a chance to stop that fourth and one, had to close a couple gaps on the backside, and they found a little seam there and got the couple inches that they needed. And then we had two penalties in those situations. And, Pat's trying to make a play. He's just trying to cover it up. And then we had the unnecessary roughness. So those I think, accounted for about 38 yards. And, I mean, that's the game of football. Unfortunately, it happened at the last drive instead of earlier.
Coach, you've talked about finishing these games. But when you look back at it, how much is it to kind of taking advantage of opportunities to put distance between yourself and these other teams when you have the chance earlier in games when you've got a 3 or 7 point lead and you've got the ball?
I mean, you hit it right there. I mean, we got to score more points, and we had a couple explosive plays. I thought we were backed up a couple times. I thought the offense did a great job getting it out. It's hard to score from that long of a field, but we got it to the 50, and then we were in an advantageous part of the field, and we couldn't finish. We got the turnover on the 40-yard line. I mean, we have to get at least a first down or two to get some more points, and we didn't, and that's across the board. That's the fundamentals. That's all the different things that we keep continually talk about on offense that we have to be better at, whether it's attacking our landmarks, whether it's running a better route, all those different things.
Nathaniel, in the difference in the first and second half this year, 102 offensive points in the first half, 63 in the second half. Last five of the last seven games averaging fewer yards per pass play in the second half than the first half. Like, what's changing? What are teams kind of throwing at you that needs to be adjusted to?
I mean, I don't think those numbers are good for even the first half. I mean, to me, we should be more efficient across the board. We should be better running the ball, throwing the ball, everything. And unfortunately, I continually say this, but it does come down to the third down. We look at what stalls our drives, and especially this past game when we have manageable third downs, we have to find a way to convert those. Whether we got to take off and run, whether we got to do completely different schemes, whether we got to get all kinds of different, we have to evaluate everything and try to find a way to convert to continue those drives to be able to get points.
To follow up on that, Nate, can you offer a window into what has gone on? Because you've been talking about that for a while. Again, getting into manageable probably makes it more frustrating that you haven't been able to convert them because they're manageable situations. Can you give us a window into just what kind of goes on in terms of exploring ways to try to turn that?
As we look at it, we always want to stay out of third down if we can. A lot of our drives that we've scored on have been big plays, whether we've gotten a pass or a chunk yard on a play pass, whether we've run the ball to try to set something up to be able to create a play pass. We did a couple things that was kind of created the Dulcich play that he got double teamed on and ran a great route. We had been in that personnel and run a couple runs out of that formation, so we set that up. So you're kind of trying to stay out of third down as much as you possibly can. But then when you combine the two of the play pass, you want everything to look the same as much as you possibly can. Sometimes you have to run a run that might not be successful, but it helps you out for an explosive pass down the field, or vice versa. You get some kind of a pass, gets them into an open coverage, so then you can take advantage of then running the ball versus an open coverage, and you're hoping to get more than 5 yards. You're looking for an explosive run. So all those things kind of go hand in hand. We're never really looking to say we want to get 3 yards, and be, you know, third and four. We're always trying to look for that explosive play down the field. And even when we are aggressive, I thought Russell did a couple good ones. We actually were being aggressive down the field. They went into a cover two look, dropped everybody back, and he did a great job checking it down, and we got 7 yards, which now opens up the possibilities to get more aggressive coverages. You could take another shot, or are you trying to go for the first down? So those are that's the chess match you're going on throughout the whole game on when you want to take those shots and be aggressive, but still always continually keeping yourself in the manageable third down if you have to get there. And then that's when we go through the game plan of what we can do during those situations. So it's that chess match of being aggressive, but smart and efficient at the same time.
Yeah, along those same lines, it seemed like your game plan was a little more kind of small ball, if you will. It was like you went into the game hoping to win 17-14 with, you know, your two or three tight ends. Could you, you know, talk about that? It wasn't a wide open, you know, five receiver set type offensive game plan anyway.
We definitely went in wanting to run the ball. I don't think we ever go in with the mindset of wanting to win and not score a lot of points. I think that we've been efficient in some of our bigger packages, whether it be 12, 21 when Beck was there, and our 13 package has been very efficient also, with Dulcich playing a little bit more of a wide receiver role. So we thought we had some better advantages versus this defense, which was a very, very good defense, instead of spreading them out and opening up the pressure looks with our 11 personnel package. We wanted to be able to kind of condense it and be able to work the play pass and the run action, hoping we're going to get explosive plays, which we got a couple of them, one to Jerry, one to Dulcich, and had a couple other ones, and we got some check downs. But again, I think the other stuff that we want to run, if we can get another set of downs, if we can get more plays, those are the things that we wanted to attack with.
Coach, you have the most players on the IR, the most money on IR, the most games missed due to injury. I know you said it's not an excuse, but how do you prevent that mindset from sinking into the team?
I mean, it's part of the game. I mean, people get injured. For us, it happens that it's a lot more than usual. And for us, we have to get the next guy ready. It starts with coaching, getting those guys ready to go out there and play at a high level. That's what we have to do. It's not an excuse, because you still have to win the game. We all want to win the game. We all think we can. We've been very close to winning a lot of games. We just have to get everybody to push through and be able to finish that game off with whoever's out there. And it's the next man up. A lot of guys are getting some great experience, and I give those guys credit for getting themselves ready to go out there and play.
Quick injury one, a chance for either Randy or Lloyd to be back in the mix?
Both those guys we're going to evaluate. We talk about that kind of today and tomorrow to kind of see where they're at. We'll meet with our medical team.
And then with the way Kansas City's playing offensively, I know you said obviously you want to go into every game wanting to score a lot of points, but especially with where you've been possession-wise, time-wise, how important is it to be able to run the football and control the pace of the game against that offense?
Very. I mean, you want to do everything you can to keep the ball out of Patrick's hands. I mean, he's an electric football player. They've got a lot of electric players around them. It's going to be a great challenge for our defense. But for us on offense, I mean, in the end, we got to score points. And when you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, you know you got to score a lot of them. So we got to find a way to put some points up. Thank you.
All right. Oh, that's trouble.
So we'll reflect on
That's all I heard the whole time. I got a scoring point. Like, what happened? Did he sprint in there?
He's just up on the mic. Maybe a little panicked. A little paranoid.
I mean, how many more times is he going to say we have to score more points? Yeah, we know. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, he did.
So find a way to do it.
He did sort of throw Russ under the bus just a pinch. Just a pinch.
And how did he do that?
Well, I'll tell you next.
Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
We want to thank our pals at Del Frisco's for feeding the crew. A lot of meat today. Heavy on the meat. Absolutely delicious. There's a T-bone out. There's a filet out there for sure, which I've been...
I just tried that ribeye, and
the ribeye, good. Oh, it's delicious, huh? I mean, listen, they do all sorts of good things at Del Frisco's. Let's face it, you cannot go wrong, from desserts to fish or whatever. But I mean, you just want to talk about the steaks. Goodness gracious! I-25 in Orchard on this beautiful day. They're also in Cherry Creek, and we love the folks at Del Frisco's. Thanks for feeding the crew. I mean, win or lose, we always feel better because the food is always delicious here on Monday.
Ah, dude, it always hits home.
Man, it was going quick today too.
I didn't even get any of that steak, man.
I'll tell you what.
Hey, we got a ribeye out there if you want to.
Yeah, there's no knives.
No, How do I cut it? I just put one out there.
Are you seriously asking? Just pick it up and eat it like a man. Talk about knives. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're somebody to be talking about eating something like a man.
That's what I'm telling. I figured it out. Also, I have a knife and fork in my little storage area. But yeah, just caveman it. What do you care? What do you think? The cavemen were looking for knives and forks?
No.
Come on, Zeus. Figure it out. All right, we'll catch you for attention there. By the way, let me give you a rundown. Chad Brown about Dion. We're not ignoring Dion whatsoever. Chad Brown will join us. Jeremy Bloom, my guy, will be on with us around 4:50. He was part of the committee to get Dion here. So he was behind the scenes with everything. So we'll get an inside view of how that process worked out.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear how that went down.
I am too. You know, Jeremy's an amazing guy, and I'm watching the TV highlights. I'm like, hey, there's Jeremy. And I reach out to him. He goes, yeah, I was part of the crew that brought him here. I'm like, oh, okay, I should have figured. All right, Hackett. First of all, he still has a job today. So that means he doesn't get fired today. You know, the more that I think about it, the more that I'm... Hackett's like, I don't even know what he means. If you don't get rid of George Payton, it actually kind of doesn't matter who the coach is.
Right.
Because Payton's just going to do the same dumb crap over and over and over again. So Hackett, to me, is a bit of a pawn. If you want to get rid of him, fine. I don't think it matters at this point. Look at the players. Look at the situation the coaches are in. Who put all that together? So I'm not feeling bad for Hackett because I think he's made his share of mistakes. But I think if you don't move on from Peyton, it doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't, because he's the one that did the Russell Wilson deal.
Correct.
And gave up so much for him.
All right, going through a couple things. Mace asked about you suck worse in the second half than the first half. I'm just using my language here. It's not a direct quote from Mace. It'd be funny if he did say that, though. And at one point, he said, it all comes down to third down. Well, no duh. Always has. And you're one of the worst, if not the worst, team on third down in the entire league. And then he said, you have to be able to take off and run every now and then. And listen, it's subtle, okay? That's subtle. But that's a shot on Russ right there. And I'm sure he didn't mean to make a shot on Russ, but he is right. Every now and then, you got to be able to take off and run to get the first down.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be able to. Especially if you're an undersized, you're a small quarterback. You're a short quarterback whose your ability is supposed to be able to, like, use your legs, right?
Yes.
That's what got him through 10 years in Seattle, was his legs.
He is
getting him, I mean, yeah, he's got a great arm and he's got great vision. He had great vision. I haven't seen that vision out of him while he's been on this Broncos team. But, you know, his legs, his ability to escape the pocket and go get that first down, I mean, come on. Where is that at? I haven't seen it.
Russell Wilson had 2 carries for 21 yards, the longest of 17. And we all know when that happened on the final drive. So he had 1 other carry for 4 yards in the entire game. Well, this is a problem when you go 2 for 12 on third down. And the third downs were
2 for 12.
Oh. 2 for 12. Now, the Ravens weren't any great shakes. They were 3 for 13 because the Broncos defense, except for the last drive, played really, really well. But they've got to figure that out, too. However, this is one of the reasons why Russell Wilson, likely you need to move on from him as quarterback. Oh. Do you seriously think, Derek, in a year, when he's closing in on 35, not 34, what? He's going to run more? He's going to get more athletic? He's going to be able to scramble for more first downs? Really?
Man, it's tough to think about. The implications to, you know, to that, if you let Russell Wilson go, if you just get him out of there, the cap hit is enormous.
It's brutal. You probably can't get him out of there, but you've got to bring in.
You have to bring a coach in that can coach him, that can run an offense that fits him.
Yeah, and you got to be able to put people around Russ that aren't going to walk on eggshells around him. That's why you got to replace basically everybody.
Yeah.
So you got to do that, too, because.
I agree.
Listen, you didn't want to add any kind of level of competition. You kept Brett Rippon, but all I heard is how bad Brett Rippon is. Well, end that time.
Yeah, why do you have a backup quarterback that you don't like?
Well, why are you a coach and you say there's no scenarios in which your quarterback would come out of games and not play?
Yeah.
It's an absurd situation. You were scoring zero. You weren't moving the ball. You are begging in the fourth quarter of that game to put in a more mobile quarterback at some time, if not just for a change of pace. You cannot just give away games next year because you don't want to offend the quarterback. You can't do it.
Yeah, walk around on eggshells afraid to hurt his feelings. It's just ridiculous.
When Deion Sanders says his son is the starting quarterback, but he has to earn it, that is exactly the same situation with Russell Wilson. We all know who the starting quarterback's going to be. However, you still have to go out and prove that you're the best option, Derek, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to earn it.
What has Russell Wilson done to earn the job at starting quarterback for the Broncos?
He got a contract. That's what he did.
Right. And it's got to be beyond that. And next year, it can be. The cap hit still sucks. But you don't have the same pressure to play him. You don't.
If you have a quarterback that comes in here and plays better football than him, then you have to play him.
Yeah, it may still go down as the worst deal in history.
I mean, it's probably going to go down as the worst trade in the history of the NFL.
Fine. Just move on from those people that made that deal. And then you're fine. Then they'll say, not a great deal. We had nothing to do with it, but we want to win now. And then if you bring other people in, I didn't do the deal. Greg Penner can definitely say, hey, man, the guy that did this deal and told me it was good, I moved on from him. So nobody will be, you'll have to live with the deal, but you don't have to be accountable and held hostage by the deal.
Well, we got a deal.
Well, listen, the worst offense in the history of the NFL is the 2000 Browns. That's 10 points a game. We're only 1 point ahead of that.
There's something to shoot for.
We're 1 point ahead of that.
What do you mean? We're at 11?
We're at 11.
We're not like at, I thought we were at 13. We're at 11?
I think we're at 11 since October.
Oh, since October. Since October. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you work hard and you have enough bathrooms, anything is possible. So we still have 5 games to beat that record. However, the spirit at Boulder up at CU, it couldn't be more different. And Chad Brown tells us what they've got going on now with Deion Sanders next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's The Drive with Super Bowl 50 champion Derek Wolf and D-Mac.
Deion Sanders.
Well, I'm not lost for words. I'm just trying to seize the moment.
Chad Brown, he of national championship fame. Back in the day, Derek, Chad Brown was winning championships at University of Colorado Boulder.
Nice. Now they, what did they go, 1-11?
This year they were 1-11. They've been to a bowl, Chad, twice since 2006, something like that?
Wow.
It's been a rough stretch. There's no doubt about it. Denying the tough times.
Why did you come to Boulder? Let's just start here. Why did you come to Boulder from Southern California when you could have gone to any college in America to play football?
Because they were building something special. I was convinced that Coach McCartney had a plan, not just for me, but for this entire football team. And we were going to do the things that he laid out during his recruiting visit. So the year before I got there, I believe the Buffs were 6-6, and they played in the Bluebonnet Bowl. But I could see that they were getting some of the best players from Southern California, guys like Eric Bieniemy and George Hemingway and J.J. Flanagan. My senior year, they were getting Darren Hagan, the best athlete in the state of California. So I knew that there was something special going on in Boulder, and it was easy for me to say no to UCLA and USC because I wanted to be a part of building something special, not just join in on the program that was already on top.
Will Deion Sanders do that same thing?
There's certainly a lot of excitement. And
You're hesitant. You are hesitant.
I think everyone's looking at what Brian Kelly did at LSU and what Lincoln Riley did at USC. Both those programs are much, much further ahead than where CU is and has been over the last couple of seasons. So while it's been disappointing at USC and disappointing at LSU, not nearly the same kind of covetous bear situation that's been going on up in Boulder. So I think that expectation is a bit too much. Do I see Deion as being a long-term fit?
Mm-hmm.
No. Maybe another stepping stone kind of thing. But at the very least, the transfer rule. Now, there's a pilot program that changed the transfer rule, which was holding the program back. Now that the transfer rule and NIL dollars have become part of college football, that's been changed. So I think Deion will get things changed where now CU can go after maybe a long-term coach after him and someone who is going to be able to hit the ground running rather than being restricted with such difficult guidelines around him.
Right. And if he can turn this around and get them, competing to at least get them into the college football playoffs and into that talk, when he does make an exit, which he will, he's going to make an exit, but that's okay because it'll be a sought after job. It'll be a job that's sought after that. It might not be, it might not be like an Alabama type of coach, but you're going to pick up those coaches that would go to big time schools because it's now become a sought after job that can pay $5-8 million a year.
So that's what I'm thinking. And so that's my hopefulness. While I certainly hope for a return to the glory days of old, when we were a top 10, top 5 program every year, and obviously won national championship when I was there, I think at the very least I'm hoping that Coach Prime, as he is asked to be addressed, is going to bring those things back, bowl games, and a sense of optimism, a sense of prominence back to the program, and they bring the program back to where they're part of the conversation. CU's been a part of the conversation, but as one of the worst teams in college football, now they can be talked about as a landing spot for future coaches, and recruits are excited. Heck, they got a top 20 recruit to decommit from Texas A&M to CU yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
it's
those
gonna keep
kind
happening.
Of moves are awesome, and that's the effect of quote-unquote Coach Prime.
And that portal makes it so that it doesn't take, 3-4 years to develop guys. Because
mm-hmm.
it used to be you had to develop the new recruits that you brought in. Now you don't have to do that. You can go get good players. You just go out and get them.
Yeah.
And that's what Prime does. If he's getting number one recruits in the nation to come to Jackson State, what do you think he's going to be able to do at CU?
Exactly. Now, I do have some concern. He had some harsh words for the kids who are part of the program now. And I think in the midst of college football and NIL dollars and all that stuff, and these coaches getting paid a ton of money, we lose track that these are kids. And, these kids were given promises from Coach Durrell or Mel Tucker or whoever else about how they were, going to be taken care of when they were on campus and their scholarships and all that. So now Coach Prime telling these kids to enter into the portal and all that kind of stuff, I'm not a fan of all of that. Because these are kids, and something needs to happen. You can't just kick the whole football team off the team and leave them just hanging. So something has to happen there to take care of these kids and kind of navigate the future of those kids who may be part of the program now but doesn't necessarily fit what Coach Prime wants in the future.
I can tell from you, Chad, you're excited about it to a degree. You're also hesitant about what's going to happen. Am I reading you right?
There's a we've already seen Coach Prime show. He didn't come in and walk lightly through the door. He kicked the door open and made all kind of big statements. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which is great. And should there be a level of renewed optimism? There should be. But considering we're in Denver, we just went through this with Russell Wilson and Coach Hackett and all the high level of excitement that came from that.
The catfish.
And there's a reality to the situation. You can only bring in so many transfers. You can only bring in so many new guys. Some of those guys who played there this year are going to have to play. And they are a worst team in the Pac-12 level of talent. So we can't just expect to be able to flip a switch and instantly this program is back to being what it once was.
Love your perspective. We appreciate it. Chad Brown on the Players Club from 9 to 11. Okay. Wow. How about that, huh? Chad's a pretty smart guy. Chad's been there. He knows the system.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's not the same as with Russ. It's not. I'm telling you.
A lot of hype with this.
I think that the recruiting that was done, listen, I know it sucks for the kids. It does. Mm-hmm. It does. It stinks for those guys. But at the end of the day, they have the portal. They can go and they can go somewhere else. Like that's just the way it goes. Mm-hmm. You might have to drop. Maybe you weren't good enough to play at this level. And it's pretty clear because they can't win a game. Mm-hmm. How many points of their defense must be horrendous.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
It must be horrendous.
It's slaughter city. It's not just losing. It's being humiliated.
You're not just losing tight games, close games. You're getting, you know, blown out every week.
Yeah.
Week in, week out in the Pac-12.
You know, it's different, too, because with Russell Wilson, at the end of the day, it had to be about performance. With Deion Sanders, it's about recruiting. Now, you've got to hire coaches that get you there. You got to manage a game that gets you there. Mm-hmm. But the number one job that you have to do as a head coach,
recruit,
is, and he's already, you know, he's already killing.
If you're the number one player in the country, you don't want to play for Deion Sanders. Are you kidding me?
Well, you do now.
Yeah,
you do right.
That's
now.
Who you want to play for.
We'll see how it goes in a couple of years.
I think it's going to be just fine. I think he's going to do a great job over there. He takes it serious. He doesn't mess around.
Oh, like, no
nothing he does.
That.
Everything he does is at a high level.
Football at 4 is next.
What's up, guys? Derek Wolf here. If you're trying to plan out your holiday feast this year, I've got the plan for you. Bison meat from my friends at Great Range Premium Bison. Bison meat will add a unique flavor to everything from your holiday meals to your tailgate chili, and it's healthier than other red meats, too. It's flavorful, clean, and hearty with some nice, sweet-tasting undertones. I'm telling you guys, once you try it, you'll be hooked. Plus, you can check out tons of awesome recipes at greatrangebison.com. So pick some up today at your local grocery store. Trust me, you'll love the taste of Great Range Premium Bison this holiday season.